All right, as promised, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, a man who would never say that any big, fat, useless guy up front at the guard position would be overpaid. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. You must love this Joe Tooney deal.
Big boy G.
Well, I mean, I think that Joe Tooney deserves to get $15 million, but I do not think that he deserves to get $15 million from the Patriots.
Explain.
Well, I mean, look, you guys have talked about it. They're already invested in Shaq Mason. They can't get out of that without a substantial cap hit. And, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to pay two guards $24 million this year? I mean, look, they're in this position right now because Belichick basically scrambled after Brady. Tooney got Brady's cap slot, basically. So Brady left for the Bucs. Belichick said, well, I have this extra cap space. What am I going to do? Well, I do have a commodity in Joe Tooney. I'll tag him. He won't just be able to go freely to the Jets or the Dolphins, who were salivating over him. I'll squat on him. Somebody will give me a first or a second round pick, more than the third round comp pick, you know, a year down the road. And we'll go from there. But there was no extension, no takers. And now what are you going to do? You're going to pay $15 million this year. What are you going to do? Tag him again next year at almost $18 million? Of course you're not. So you're going to let him go next year and get the same third round comp pick? It doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is the Patriots identify a player, and trust me, they have plenty of them that they've invested in. Froholt was a fourth round pick. Illuminor, they traded for a fourth round pick for. Kajust, who's a tackle but could play guard, was a third round pick. They had 2 sixths and a seventh this year. Somebody has to be able to play a passable guard, which would allow them to trade Tooney, get a second or third now, and recoup that cap space.
So, Greg, you think there's still a chance that they're going to move him before the start of the season?
Well, Tony, yes, I think there's a chance, but I also think this could go into the season. I mean, there's nothing to say, you know, at the say they have a kid who comes along in practice to the point, and say there's an injury in the NFC where a team is really desperate at guard. All of a sudden, the Patriots trade him, and now they only paid half. Like, I could see a situation like that, but I think absolutely. I think what the Patriots are going to do is what they normally do, and they did this with Mankins. It's not exactly a direct comparison, but they look to see what they have on the roster. Is anybody capable of, you know, whenever they get to camp, is anybody capable of starting and taking over and at a lot cheaper rate? And if that's true, absolutely, I think they're going to look to move them.
Greg, the Patriots, in terms of positional spending, have the fifth highest paid offensive line in football. They spent the fifth most amount of money on the O-line in the NFL. Is it worth the money?
If they play to that level, yes. And I think we've talked about this before. I think that going into the season that the Patriots, if all things go well, Andrews is back to his form, Mason and Cannon get back to their form, Wynn stays on the field, I have this group rated as top five in the league, with a ceiling of it could be one of the best, like near the top, if not the top.
So what happened last year?
What happened last year? You know, Wynn didn't get on the field. David Andrews had blood clots. Karras wasn't exactly a great fit.
Well, no,
Mason
but,
was
no,
hurt when what, it took a step back.
I was going to say Mason fell off. Cannon fell off. I think all those, yep. I mean, most of them fell off. So what was right. What happened?
I don't know. They just didn't play that well. I can't tell you why. I can just tell you they did not play well. And you know, the belief is that Mason was bothered by injuries all year. We talked about the Karras Andrews thing. We went from athletic center to an unathletic center, and that completely changed how the running game worked. The tight ends factored into the offensive line. They got zero blocking out of it, going from Gronkowski to zero blocking. All of that factored into they weren't very good. The biggest thing was Mason and Cannon didn't play very well last year, certainly not up to their level, and they need to pick it up this year. And there's a belief internally that they feel they have, they need a kick in the pants. They got it, and they'll be better this year.
Okay, so that's that on the offensive line. Enough time on the offensive line.
Okay.
Let's get to the real stuff. You think that there's going to be a quarterback competition this summer on the Patriots?
Absolutely.
You think there's a chance that Jared Stidham could beat out Cam Newton for the starting quarterback job?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that they set it up this way, and it's part of the thinking for getting Cam in. All right. So, and trust me, I'm not one of these guys who's like, oh, well, Belichick can't lose. Cam Newton comes in, and he's better. He makes defenses defend the Patriots better, creates space. All of a sudden, they're better in the passing game. They're better in the running game just because the teams have to account for Cam Newton. Or Jared Stidham, who has been untested to this point, now faces a competition, and in camp, he's lights out and clearly wins the job. And now, all of a sudden, guys like Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, who they know the score. They're out there on the practice field. They're going to know. If Jared Stidham is better and is beating out Cam Newton, all of a sudden they have confidence that, okay, now Jared Stidham goes into the season having accomplished something more than just beating out Brian Hoyer.
So, Greg, at the beginning of the offseason, you had mentioned to us that internally the Patriots did not believe that Stidham was quite ready yet. Do you believe that he is ready now? More importantly, do they believe that he is ready now?
They're in the same spot, Tony. They have no idea. But they know he's going to get tested now, that's for sure. They don't know what's going to happen. He could shrink and Newton could kick his ass out there on the practice field. Or Jared Stidham could all of a sudden say, okay, you're bringing in Cam Newton, I'm going to show you, and he could be lights out. I don't have any idea. They don't have any idea. We're just going to have to watch. Wait. What I do know is that from the last decade of watching Bill Belichick and how he goes about selecting his team and who's going to be starters, I have never once had an argument with anybody that he's picked as a starter at any position because they earn it on the field. Now, you know, on the roster, deeper on the roster, we might have some disagreements, and he's normally right. But as a starter, everybody earns it on the practice field. Cam Newton, if he is not better than Jared Stidham on the practice field, he is not going to start for this team. Point blank, end of story.
So you think there's a chance that Jared Stidham's talented enough to beat out a healthy Cam Newton?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Nobody has any idea. Internally, they have no idea. Do they think he has a chance? It's the same thing that we talked about in January.
Well, how could you say you have no idea, Greg? I mean, you watched Cam Newton now for 9 years in the NFL. You've watched Jared Stidham through two full camps, and I know it's not a full,
what,
but...
What do you mean? I've seen Jared Stidham in one camp.
Well, to say that there's no... Oh, I guess that's true, one camp. To say that there's no idea,
like a year ago.
Okay, you have zero idea? Tell me you have like 5% of idea. Nobody has any idea.
Zero.
it's zero from his rookie year just coming out. Players are completely different now in their second year. I mean, Cam Newton, do I think that Cam Newton, healthy, early 2018, is going to win the job? Yes. But we're talking about Cam Newton, who the last two times he's really played has needed rotator cuff surgery.
Who do you think, Greg, who do you think Bill wants to win the job?
I don't know. I don't think he.
I got you on
really
that
cares.
One, big boy. I got you.
Newton.
There. Who do you think Bill wants to win the job, Murray?
Newton.
Stidham.
Well, I think Newton makes things easier for the offense if he's able to play. But Mike, we could get in a situation where Cam Newton and his bum shoulder needs a rest every 3 days, and he's not getting enough reps, and he doesn't know the offense. We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody has any idea.
Okay, so I think it would be just like the Patriots to make this signing. The hype train gets off the tracks. Everyone's, you know, off the rails about what Cam Newton can do here, Cam Newton can do there, all the hype, and then Bill cuts him in camp.
Absolutely, like, we'll never hear anything about that ever again.
I mean, I feel like that's so them. I feel like that's so them. So if you ask me who does Bill really want, he would want Stidham. He'd want the guy that he drafted, developed, discovered. Then he does get to play this game that I can win with any quarterback. I can develop any quarterback. It feeds his ego. It feeds this whole storyline. That's who he wants.
I think it's the opposite.
I think it's the opposite. I think he wants Newton, which is why Newton is here. Because in his perfect scenario, he would want Stidham to get another year. He doesn't want to rush Stidham. He knows Stidham's not ready. And you know what, Greg? If Cam Newton needs to rest his shoulder every third day, how does that make him any different from the last quarterback who didn't practice on Wednesdays? Like, what's the difference?
Tom Brady kind of knew the offense, so he didn't need to be out there all the time. That's the difference.
The snide voice on the other end of the line there is Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. Score one for the big boy right there, Matt. Sorry. Your thoughts on how Cam Newton has carried himself this offseason, Greg, including the thing the other night with Odell Beckham?
Yeah, I'm kind of over it already. I mean, let's just – look, I have all the respect in the world. I pushed for Newton all offseason. I want him here. I think he makes them a better team if he's healthy and he's the quarterback from the first half of 2018. I still think he's a very good player. But, you know, these videos and now the other one the other day, I mean, he's conducting himself like he is the starting quarterback of the Patriots. He's in, if he comes here with that attitude and he goes in, he's in for a rude awakening. Because he said all the right things to the Patriots. I know that, about wanting to earn it and all that stuff. But it sure seems like he thinks he's the quarterback of the Patriots, and that's just not true.
You know,
like, he needs to come in and win the job. I would like to see him be a little bit more humble. I don't want to hear from you. You're on the same level as Brian Hoyer, pretty much. Come in here with a chip on your shoulder. Don't tell me about it. Show me it on the field.
A little too much noise, right, Greg? I mean, I know Bill can adjust to different players and accept different players and do what's best for the team, but he generally wants little noise, no hype, you know, don't buy into that stuff. And Cam Newton's done the exact opposite in the last couple of weeks, I feel.
Absolutely. I mean, I completely agree with you, and you know, this is who Cam is, and it's fine, as long as, you know, if he cuts it short now, maybe, you know, he gets a call from Bears telling him to knock it off, then, you know, no harm, no foul. But he has to realize, you know, talk softly and carry a big stick with the Patriots. That's how it goes.
Maz, you got anything else for the big fella?
Nope.
Greg, do we think, what are you hearing? How about this? Just in terms of start of camp, start of the season, are they on schedule? You think it's all going to come down at the end of the month?
Yes, even though, I mean, I think it's going to be rammed through. I mean, I've told you guys all offseason, I thought everything was going to start about 2 weeks late. I still think that's in the realm of possibility, but the owners have set up a meeting for Friday. That's basically, that's kind of the screw you to the players. We're going to ram it down your throat. We don't really care what you say kind of meeting. So I expect Friday, the teams are going to get their marching orders that everybody's supposed to report next week, and then you're going to get complaints from the players, but in the end, they won't do anything because they never do anything.
Here's my next question. Are you going to be up on the hill there watching practices, and are we going to have reports about, you know, how many, you know, how McDermott, what's this guy's name?
Connor McDermott, the Connor, one-on-one battles.
How Connor McDermott did in his one-on-one battles, exactly.
And Skipper. Yeah, it looks that way. We're working through that. I mean, I just don't understand. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody today. I can literally go from my house to the practice field, not go inside at all, and I don't see why that's limited in any way in terms of numbers. I mean, there's like 450 yards worth of end zone space to watch football. So it's all being worked through right now. I'm optimistic that everybody's probably going to get one person in there at practices, but we have to see how it comes out.
Okay. So, Greg, in the one-on-one battles, I just want to make sure that you grade the guards based on their salaries, okay? I don't want to see just Joe Tooney kick the ass of some Jamoke who was drafted in the seventh round. I want to know salary, you know, pound for pound, dollar for dollar, who really won the battle.
I'm going to grade you on your salary and your golf game.
Thanks,
Bedard. You don't know my salary.
Thanks, Greg.
See you guys.
See you. Read him at the Boston Sports.
Adam Butler.
Read Greg Bedard, the Boston Sports Journal. Give him a subscription there. Yeah, they should let the coverage of camps, crucial, because I want to know that, you know, Brian Hoyer went 8 of 9 with da-da-da-da-da.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Greg, all that stuff's good.
Especially this year. That'll suck without that.
Desperately need it. Desperately need it.
Alan Branch.
And this is so easy. Greg said you don't even have to go inside. You just plant your big butt on that hill 200 yards from the field, pull out your binoculars, and there you go, right down
Connor
your nose.
McDermott.
It's not like, have you heard these NBA guys who went down to Orlando to cover the thing have to be quarantined in their hotel room for 7 days?
Oh, yeah.
7 days, like, locked in their hotel. They can't leave the room. 7 days.
I guess, I bet you some of those guys are running up the video bill.
New Mass would go there. Okay, long commercial.
Dan Skipper.
Long commercial segment is next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.